Christ in the concrete city.
In the city square of the heart, in the heart of the city, stands the arrogant, broken, skinny-stained, uncompromising bronze bulk of the black prince, self-jeopardy which dominates the heart. Beside its white flag watches the Christ, and the hurrying, rain-hosed, job-harried, unknowing passers-by in the lamplight make choice of the one or the other before the last touch of all takes them home.
That is the subject of our play. Not that instrument, but the truth contained within the frame of that instrument. The Calvary in your backyard.
The scourge on the back of my kitchen door.
The resurrection in the local cemetery.
From the beginning, God has interfered. His word has called to action in a particular situation. Our story is the drama of God's gate crashing the petty concerns of men. The story of which I am the narrator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good.
In the beginning, God created us.
For in order that sin might be conquered,
and with sin its power and death,
the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
But because he could not bear his glory, you and I worship God. Which is why we each have a part of his story.
Personally, old boy, I've been even looking after number one. He's the one who counts in the end.
You don't say so. To be quite honest, old man, I couldn't care what truck you believe.
The great thing is not to get involved. Whatever you do, don't commit yourself.
That's it. We know how we like it. We go out for an evening's entertainment to the Theatre Royal or the Odeon.
Why television?
We sit back and are amused.
Or entertained by the shadow of sorrow.
Wasn't it lovely? Oh, yes, ever so lovely. I cried and cried. Especially when you said you couldn't live without us. And when he said, "Let's run away together." Do you remember that kiss? But I liked him better in Love and Blood, honey. He's so handsome. Do you remember when he went off with a slave girl and sold me for sale? Yes. But what I really liked was a silly cartoon. Wasn't that funny? Never so funny.
We are the viewers.
We are the viewers.
Uncut.
Uncommitted. We watch things happen.
Turning to one another during the interval with a crackle of popcorn.
Well, what do you think?
Well, are you enjoying it?
Isn't
KFS
good?
No, KFS is not good.
KFS is a sinner.
And that really is the crux of the matter. You see, as entertainment, this play could never be justified.
As entertainment, this play would be blasphemous.
For this play deals with something that really happened in history.
Like the Battle of Gettysburg, or the French Revolution. Something God did and bloodily suffered. In the city of Jerusalem, when a man called Pilate was commissioner for Galilee.
But more than this.
Much more than this, and much more important.
This play deals with something that happens now.
In the lives of each one of us. In the brief fight and long of human existence, between the cosmos of birth and the coldness of death, while the big ship roars on the cosmos of
glory. The Son of God is crucified, both by us and for us.
And because this is so, none of us can stand acquitted. This is not a religious play,
but a reenactment of the bloodiest murder you and I ever committed. Thus I have to find the court of Caiaphas, the high priest, symbol of Christ's spiritual pride,
and blindness and hardness of heart,
and the expedience of the politician,
but also the pride and the blindness and the hardness that is behind the front door of each one of us.
Sometimes we are tired,
and dead,
and the pride.
On a certain Friday night, around about the year 30.
And sometimes we are playing you and me, on decoration day, in the park or wherever this may be. So we represent what happened once and was done by certain people.
And we represent what is being done now by ourselves and all people. That being so, let us make a start.
Yes, let the story begin.
In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being Roman governor of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, Philip tetrarch of Etruria, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being high priests,
after the years of chariotting and learning the art of the chisel, plane, and saw under the instruction of Joseph, Jesus, bar Joseph as he was known in the village, set out from Nazareth on a mission to the lost people of the house of Israel.
A meteoric prayer of 3 years duration, healing the disease,
and Joseph was served in his crown.
This is the love of God with attention to him and pronouncing his judgment on sin. Here is the Savior of the world
and first of having a devil.
So, down through last night, a certain Thursday, where we take up our story in a garden in the royal city of Jerusalem, in a suburb, Gethsemane. Here he has come to pray with three of his closest friends,
James, Peter, and John,
leaving them his instructions.
Wait here while I go and pray. Why did you tell us to wait? Is there nothing to do with waiting?
No, nothing. How suddenly this agony has come upon him. It is the valley of the shadow of death, a horror that we cannot begin to understand.
Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. Those were his instructions. Watching is hard work when you do not know what you are watching for.
Praying is hard work when you do not know what you are praying for.
And cold work, too, here in the darkness
and in the loneliness. How far away God seems when we are dispirited
and tired
and afraid.
And being in an agony, Jesus prays, My Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Oh, he said, same awful prayer over and over again. And he sweat bleeding on his brow and falling like great drops of blood.
I was afraid. We desire to escape into sleep from the terror,
from the agony,
which we fear to understand.
And yet again, being in an agony, Jesus prostrates himself and prays, My Father, if this cup cannot pass without my drinking it, your will be done.
We desire to escape into sleep because we are caught up in that which is greater than ourselves.
When the minister comes to our house, we invite him in, but maybe you won't see the empty discharge lying over yourself. For near the sound of our escaping husband, we sit on the edge of chairs in the front room and talk elaborately of the weather and of the family and the political situation. And of the weather, how hot it is for this time of year. Oh, for the time of year, how cold. Building a wall of the privilege, lest he should be so indiscreet as to mention our soul. We desire to escape from the embarrassment, from the fear of discussing that which we do not wish to understand.
But the time for sleeping is past. The traitor has arrived in the garden with an armed guard to effect the arrest of Jesus.
Wake up, there are lights in the garden.
Come into the garden.
Voices, hostile voices,
angry voices, and confusion.
Son of God is betrayed.
Betrayed to the garden.
The disciples break and run in the darkness. The arrest of Jesus is effected without much difficulty. He is taken and marched away under an armed guard brought for that purpose by his former friend, the traitor Judas.
Yes, my dear, by Judas. Judas is that one. You know Judas, treasurer of the company. Well, I never fancied that. Judas, who is Judas?
From the treachery of Judas.
Good Lord, deliver us.
But not only from the treachery of Judas.
We desire to escape into sleep from that which is greater than ourselves.
And from that which we do not wish to understand.
We desire to escape into the movies or the latest novel.
Or into the fourth page of the evening paper.
Or if we are frightfully highbrow, into the technique of the ballet. Or the comparative study of religion.
Alternatively, if you prefer,
we desire to escape into too much fear in the tap room.
Turn away the head!
Close the eyes! Shut off the agony!
The urgency of God in the garden.
Until the moment for conviction,
until the moment for action
is past, and the Son of God is betrayed.
We desire
desire to escape into sleep from the terrible humility of God,
which we fear to understand.
That which remains for Christ is action, things to be done and things to be suffered. The news of his arrest spreads through the city like wildfire, or the news of war.
Have you heard of this? Have you heard the news?
What news?
What news? They've arrested the agitator, the carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth.
The king of the Jews.
I don't think so. Fine king he is. Just last Sunday I said to Ethel, when he came into town, they made all that fuss about 3 years for the son of David and that stuff about coming in the name of the Lord. A king on a thousand, I said. Mark my words, they'll be singing another tune by the end of the week. That's what I said, didn't I, Ethel?
That's right, though. He suddenly stopped waving his flag and shouting like an errand boy in my place. He turns to me and he says, a king on a donkey, so what? Just like that.
And now look what they've done. I told you so. But what a story. What a scoop for the people. We can read all about it tomorrow.
Oh, we'll take it in coffee and coke. In the General Dispatch of the New York Times, a million newspapers at breakfast time will carry the song, the latest sensation. It's the greatest turn of all.
The execution of the Son of God.
Party who arrested Jesus led him away to the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the legislators and rulers had hastily assembled. Now it was Caiaphas who had pointed out to the Jews that it was to their advantage that one man should die for many people.
My lord, this is a most unusual hour to call a meeting of the Supreme Court. Irregular, most irregular. I regret the inconvenience, but the national emergency may come to light irregularity necessary.
My lord, as I was passing through the street, there seemed to be some great excitement among the people whispering on the street corners. Ugly words were being bandied about.
I heard the word murder mentioned. Murder? Why murder?
Don't be absurd.
This is justice. The majesty of law uncorrupted.
You use quite the wrong word.
The innocent have nothing to fear from the absolute impartiality of our legal system. Meanwhile, we await the return of the officer to jail to effect the arrest.
My lord, the prisoner awaits your convenience.
Good, bring him in. Your evidence, officer?
Acting on information received from one Judas Iscariot, a former friend of the accused, at 2 a.m. this morning I proceeded with a small detachment of police to the orchard known as Gethsemane, beyond the Kedron Valley on the east side of the city. There I effected the arrest of the accused, who himself offered no resistance. Two of his accomplices, however, drew weapons and attempted to obstruct the police in the execution of their duty before taking to flight and escaping in the darkness.
The accomplices were not concerned. The body died on the head. What are the charges against the prisoner?
He claimed the power to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins.
He claimed authority over the law. And only God is over the law.
He gave life to the blind, voice to the dumb, and life to the dead. He raised the corpse. It's wrong if you can't speak your eyes, but only God can give life, or speech, or sight, or straight sound legs to the hideous cripples.
That then is the charge. But he claimed the power and tribute of Almighty God for himself. Has the prisoner anything to say?
He does not answer. He ignores our choosing.
We want none of the others, but keep your fancy religion yourself.
Leave us alone, can't you?
Leave us alone to spend our lives as we want to.
What need have we a court of witnesses to claim the power and privilege of God as a capital offense? The judgment of this court is that the Son of God be nailed by hands and feet to the gallows, that a hang until he is dead.
Take him away to the military governor for confirmation of our sentence.
The judge of all is judged by men and found wanting. Because he does not conform to the established pattern of religion and morality, it is found expedient that one man should die for the people.
There is a sin without forgiveness.
What is that?
The sin against the Holy Spirit of God.
What is that?
The cult of humility turned inside out.
He raised up a God in the image itself. He built the working mouth of the Almighty from the blueprint of our own character.
Look, here is the God you have made. Behold and worship. Glory to man in the highest, for man is the maker of gadgets. Hail to the unholy who gives us that which we wish to get. I am the God with the middle class thing, the average man. Bow down and worship.
O thou who madest no demand, who makest the tolerant eye of our adultery, and understandest our great need to get rich quick,
we worship and adore thee.
I am the God with the India rubber face, your grandfather in heaven. Behold and worship my doting benevolence.
Thou art the God who describes thyself as the pumpkin at the harvest festival.
And the Santa Claus at the key festival of Christmas.
Thou art God, God of war, to whom we turn during the periods of natural emergency.
And when all else has failed, let us fall to our prayers. O Lucifer, the son of the morning, image of man and the mirror of God,
we worship and adore thee.
This is the son of God we like. This is the Son of God we can worship.
His face is our face.
Because we made his face to our image.
This is the Son of God we can worship.
But from this fellow. From this God who is a person breaking and entering our lives.
This God who meddles with the tales that do not concern him. Passing judgment and habits of thought and speech.
Our practice in sex, grief, and labor. Breaking into our lives from this interfering God.
From this meddling God.
Good Lord, dear God.
And should he enter our lives in the final flesh?
Commit the ultimate indiscretion of taking flesh, of becoming man. Our sins will take that to its logical conclusion.
We will reenact the bloodiest murder we ever committed.
God's mills grind on. The enormous wheels of murder by jury groan to life. The Christ
interrogated ultimately and condemned to death.
Now is led through the early morning streets of the city of Jerusalem, where the shops are hardly open, to the grandiose white-pillared palace of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, there to await the convenience of the commander of the forces of occupation.
Pilate! Come up to the big town? What about the shop?
Shop! I took my coat off this morning and Harry said to me, Harry, then come off the shop. Shop, I said. Harry, then I'm asking for the man today. I'm taking off the seal. And if you don't like it, you can lump it.
Really, my dear, I can't see why you married that man. He's not a man at all. He's an animated cat register. You should have chosen someone handsome.
Like a prisoner, for instance.
The prisoner? Do you think he'll come?
Man, of course he'll come. Say it with sentences, didn't he? Or Pilate got to say yes.
And he wouldn't dare do anything else. Pilate knows which side his bread is butter on.
He's nothing but a rubber stamp. A ruddy Roman rubber stamp at that one. But where is he? Trust the Romans keep us waiting.
The military, governor? Military, my eye. Why don't you hurry up?
Oh, perhaps his lordship is taking his morning bath
or powdering his Roman nose.
What?
Good morning, Your Excellency, my lord. Hi.
Well, Caiaphas, what's all this native nonsense, huh? Why can't you bring your prisoners to me at a more civilized hour? What's the charge against this man?
If he were not a criminal, he would not have troubled you.
Well, judge him by your own fantastic laws, then.
By our laws, he has been sentenced to death.
Oh. So it's blood you're after, are you, old fox? Well, then, what are the charges?
He sits himself up as the son of God.
The military governor can hardly be expected to worry over his religion.
Say, rather,
he sets himself up as the king of the Jews.
King of the Jews? The charge, then, is one of treason. Of inciting to the government?
That is so.
I have heard something of this man. Oh, yes. The authorities are quite aware of what's going on in the city of Jerusalem. But the one that is king were not a political one at all. the kingdom of righteousness and peace and the love of God, whatever that may be. Suppose that he were that sort of a king.
Then those of us who care for the truth
would listen to him. Truth? What is truth? By Roman law, I find no crime against this man. By your Jewish standards, he is guilty. Very well, I propose a compromise. It has been my custom on national holidays to release the prisoners. I propose today to release the King of the Jews, thereby satisfying Roman mercy and Jewish justice. Well, that is my decision. You have either this man, or Barabbas.
Barabbas the murderer? Barabbas is blood on his hands?
Barabbas? Or this Jesus who is called the Christ? Well, which is it to be?
Give us Barabbas! Give way to your always! Give us Barabbas! We understand him!
And he understands us! Good old Barabbas! Our lives are not condemned by his holiness, not by this other! Give us the murderer!
The murderer shall be released. And the Jesus shall be flogged. Blood you wanted, and blood you shall have.
And life to the bull,
back trip to the lash.
Wait,
the grave?
Why not the crack?
I can't bear
the
light
of blood.
It turns
my soul. There,
dear,
you needn't look. It'll be all over in a minute.
The crack of
litter
on the
flesh. Blood on the lash. You're explaining,
wait. The grave? Down on the lash. Why doesn't he scream? It's so thrilling to be so sudden. I don't know about that. These criminals don't feel like ordinary folk. That's why they wait the lash down and keep the flesh. But there, they say. So you can look again, dear.
The lash lies in the dust. The flogging is done. And we have seen blood. In sight of blood breeds the desire for more blood. Have you ever watched a cow in a boxing match? And we have seen blood. But first, the crowning of our king.
Look, the fool will be making a garland before he can. Garland of thorns, barbed like wire. And now they're putting a saffron and purple cloak on him. And a winged scepter in his hand to play a clown. Oh, your majesty, your holy majesty, have mercy on us. Will your most gracious majesty forgive us our trespasses?
For all the king did. 3 years for the king.
Enough! By the spirit of this glorious mockery, justice has been done. Behold the man.
We have seen blood and will see more.
We demand the death penalty for this man.
Yes. Let him be executed.
What? What harm has he done?
Harm enough. He will not leave us alone.
He will not leave us as he wishes to be.
He wants to make us watch your mouth and we are afraid. Execution.
Shall I execute your king?
We have no king but Caesar. No king but the state. No will, no purpose, but the will of the state.
The will of the state to protect us from the terror of thought.
Act
the
decision
of our own. Take from us this reproach and our sinfulness.
Let him be crucified.
Crucified! Crucified!
Very well. I wash my hands of this whole affair. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. It is your own responsibility. His blood be upon us, and upon our too.
generous pilot.
Coward. Political time serving.
The sin of Caiaphas.
Spiritual pride and ecclesiastical time serving.
The sins of the soldiers and of the crowd. These sins are not museum specimens pinned on pins beneath glass cases to be examined at leisure by those interested in religion. No, far from it. These are the sins of Main Street. The sins of respectable citizens living in respectable rows. The sins of your milkman, and of the man who borrows your mower, and of the man who sits next to you on the 8:15.
The sins of ordinary people going daily to ordinary jobs and returning by six to unspectacular homes and wives. Your sins and my sins.
The sins of the children of our various parents.
The sins of the man in your caving mirror.
It is he, the everyday treachery, the John citizen and his unglamorous wife.
Which flame in the heat of the moment and flare to the murder of God. The mockery of the trial is ended. The scorn and spitting are done. The flogging administered and suffered blow by gasping blow in silence. And Jesus takes up his cross.
Why did they make him carry his own cross? Why did the man have to bear the gallows on which he is to die? It is hard. It is heavy.
The weight he bears is heavier than we can tell. In the enlightenment of the 20th century, it is not customary to crucify the political prisoner.
On the contrary, our methods are marked by a comparative lack of physical violence.
Some unpleasantness in this court are unfortunately necessitated in the interest of psychological reconditioning.
A shortage of sleep.
A minimum of food. The use of drugs.
And many hours of incessant questions. Cardinal Minzinski had to be treated continuously some 3 days. A singular example of stubborn malignancy, proving, though, in the end, the minimum to treatment.
He saw his errors and confessed them. It is an unnecessary crudity to crucify the body if the mind is capable of readjustment. The weight he bears is heavier than we can tell.
Step on step. Down the high street.
Step on step of his last long journey.
Crowd, silent of fear.
Crowd, pushing to feet. Crowd, craving neck for a better view.
With the military escort who looked to the execution of justice, under the command of a Roman officer to keep back the crowd and carry out his sentence.
Stand back there, make way there, what things will ask? Make way for a Roman army.
He can never last to the end. The bone-stripping fight of the rack. And now the dead weight of the cross.
Yes, on step.
It is too long drawn out for flesh and blood to stand. He's gone.
Hey, take care of that. That cross is something to come. Hold on, I have no time to stop your prayers. You've got an appointment with me.
Well, Sergeant, I'm right about one thing.
prison is done, and lost to the penalty.
And someone's got to carry his cross. And that's someone's you.
What, me? Carry a cross? Not your life.
You'll be all right if you don't. And what's more, you got a good taste of a Roman life. So come along, my Judy. Pick it up. It's your lucky day. The day you were born for. Come on, get to it. Pass it up!
Step by step to Calvary. Step by step to the place of execution.
See the wounds on his back. The wounds of our giving. See the crown and the blood on his brow. Blood shed for our sins.
The hot, soft vision of the dark places of the city and of the mind.
There'll be lost by darkness. The lewd magazine. The mind may balk and effort.
The yellow things of our power, coldness, and couldn't care less treachery to the strong faith of our fathers.
The blind desertion of our destiny. The gross sins of our gluttony. More greed.
Less work.
More money.
Shorter hours.
More pleasure.
You got a TV set, Joe?
Yeah, we got
to
see the
music,
but the program
is
no good.
So let's go to the movies. The steps of every thing is on the plaza. Anything up in there
at
the house and dance.
That's
why I'm short
and
hairy face.
And
still be back in time for the big show.
The
rest of
that big show?
Oh,
no, he must be in at the
kill. And the hair of the Son of God.
And it can't be mine. I've always lived a good life and never did anyone any harm.
No, not the man down with this idea.
A sullen echo of our emptiness and the deadly tinge of our enormous pride.
If the Joneses have a car, we must have a car and a bigger one than this.
And you must be very sure that little Willie gets a good schooling. Well, so that he can get on in life.
That is, make more money than the Joneses of a kid.
Marry into a higher social standing.
Higher than me, than the Joneses of a kid.
And keep his wife in the luxury to which he has been accustomed.
Which is, of course, a great deal grander than the Joneses of a kid.
And then he dies, full of wealth, circumstance, and indigestion.
And he's buried. It is true, more sumptuous by far than the Joneses of a kid.
The stupid sins of our enormous pride send the Son of God. And he was followed by a large crowd of townspeople and of women who beat their breasts and wailed.
Oh, Tyler, how young. Why, he's only a boy after all. How could they do such a thing? How could they be so cruel? Don't you remember us? We knew you when you were only one little fellow in Nazareth. Now I have come to this. Oh, mother, what you must be feeling.
These miserable women, they split their own grandmother's throat so they'd have somebody's funeral to cry at.
And Jesus turned to the daughters of Jerusalem and said, weep for yourselves and for your children, not for me. For the days are coming when they shall say, blessed are the barren and the breasts that never gave suck. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves. What does this mean? Weep for yourselves and your children. And passing the sterile woman and the breasts that never sucking. It's hardly decent. But whatever did he mean? If you do this when the wood is green, what will happen when the wood is dry? We only wanted to show our sympathy.
what to be answered in words that we do not understand.
This day the green wood is kindled,
revealing the timeless pattern of innocent suffering.
The sea is the mystery of all things, for those who get what they do not deserve. The fierce pain of the mother and labor, the unmeaning pain of death in the family. Why should this happen to us?
We never did anyone any harm. Why should this happen to our son?
Our only son. So young, his life is scarcely begun.
Why did this happen to him
and to us?
That is suffering of war and its hideous aftermath.
The child is not safe.
What mother would have a daughter in an enemy-occupied city?
Why, barbed wire, the whip of a concentration camp, the fate drained and killed,
and the hopeless misery of the political prisoner,
or sudden death on the highway.
The accusations of a million misinterpretations. The holy innocence of all things.
Here, in that which is done today, both by us and for us, here is the answer, your answer and mine.
By thine agony and bloody sweat, and by thy most holy cross and passion,
good Lord, deliver us.
Thus they led him to the place called Golgotha, which is called the place of a skull.
So the journey is ended. The cross carried to its appointed place. The journey now begun with stone and death. The crucifixion filled with faith. There is no rest. No rest.
And it was the third hour. And they crucified him.
Right, you can lay the cross there. Got your rope?
Yes.
Then touch up as quickly as possible. We don't want to be here forever.
There's a lot in business, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. You never get quite used to it. It's cold blooded. Fire. Cold blooded. Tool break?
Yes, sir. Hammer and nails.
Right hand first, sir.
Right hand. Palm open, the point of the nail in the palm.
The open palm of the free-giving hand of God.
One blow, two blows, hammer blow, nail head.
The right hand of God transfixed for our sins.
Left hand, Sergeant.
Left hand, palm open, the point of the nail in the palm.
The open palm of the free-giving hand of God.
One blow, two blows, hammer blow and nail head, hammer blow and nail head.
The arms of God transfixed and beseeching for our sin.
Now the feet.
Feet together, sir. Nail pointed to the foot.